Grace and peace to you from God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. As soon as they left the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told him about her at once. He came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. Then the fever left her, and she began to serve them. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks that through this short passage you teach us the way that you would have us to follow. To first gather here in the synagogue to worship, next to go out and serve others by proclaiming your saving love to them, and then third, to serve and hope that they will serve others too. Father, we can only do this because you showed us the way by sending Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour, to make the way, to be the way, to show us the way, to lead the way. So Lord, help us now to follow him through your holy word. And Lord, pray that we might have the courage to follow him all the way to the cross. Sustain us by your faith, your grace, your mercy, so that we may meet you and live with you to life everlasting. In Jesus' holy, precious name we pray. Amen. Picture Simon's mother-in-law in bed with a fever, flat on her back. No energy, no enthusiasm, separated from family, friends and her daily routine. She's alive, but not really living. Her world is as small and flat as her bed. She is living an horizontal existence. You can imagine it. I'm sure you've all had a fever. Today, however, I'm not talking about the kind of fever that comes with the flu or a cold. I'm not talking about an increased body temperature. I'm talking about the times in our lives when we become disconnected from the vertical axis of our lives. I'm talking about the fever of disconnection. I'm talking about the kind of fever that disconnects us from the divine life of Jesus. It leaves us horizontal and disconnected from the source and origin of life, from love, joy, forgiveness, beauty, justice, mercy, compassion, generosity, wisdom, and all the other divine attributes that sustain our lives, give content to our relationships, and direction and purpose to what we do. This fever begins as a disconnection from the mystery and depth of God. Its symptoms are our disconnection from life and each other. Sometimes it's not easy to identify how this happens. Sometimes it's the circumstances of life and it's not really anyone's fault. Other times it's our fault, choices we've made and things we've done. Sometimes I think we just get tired, lazy, or too busy. And remember, the accuser is busy with his temptations and assaults on our conscience. Think about the times in your life when you were so tired, so busy, so preoccupied, so overwhelmed or whatever, that you just skimmed the surface of life and there was no depth or dimension to your being. Everything felt, looked, and sounded shallow. Those are the times we're disconnected from the vertical axis of our life. Fever has overtaken us and there's only the horizontal. Most evenings I watch the news and can't help but wonder if we're standing at the edge of a flat world, disconnected from something greater than ourselves. I will read it out now. I was going to leave it to the notices, but it fits well. Last night, this is from yesterday, I received it on Friday, I think. Last night, something happened in the Victorian Parliament which affects all Australians. The Andrews Labor government successfully passed its so-called Change and Suppression Practices Prohibition Bill. The bill purports to ban so-called gay conversion therapy, both in secular and faith-based settings. The shocking legislation will ban any practice or conduct towards a person, even if undertaken with the person's consent, aimed at changing or suppressing the sexual orientation or gender identity of the person. Parents should be alarmed. Any attempt to even counsel or pray with their own children over matters of their sexuality or gender could see them charged with an offence. And churches and faith organisations are specifically targeted. Aside from secular services such as psychiatric therapy, the bill prohibits carrying out a religious practice, including, but not limited to, a prayer-based practice, a deliverance practice, or an exorcism. The penalties for breaching the legislation are serious, and I can tell you what, they're pretty heavy. 10 years jail and or $198,264 fine for individuals, for organisations almost $1 million. Also, the Victorian Bill recognises no borders. Anyone who engages with a Victorian, either within or outside of Victorian borders, for the purpose of changing or suppressing, will potentially be engaging in a criminal act, and so on the letter goes. So I'll reiterate, most evenings I watch the news and can't help but wonder if we're standing at the edge of a flat world, disconnected from something greater than ourselves. War, atrocities, the poor, the hungry, the homeless, battered women, abused children, refugees, those denied education or health care. This are just some of the marks on the world's thermometer, and I feel that the temperature is rising. The pandemic fevers of power, greed, hatred, prejudice, injustice, and violence are raging, and human beings are dying. The only fever worse than these is the fever of apathy and indifference. To be so disconnected from the vertical axis of God's life that we don't care about the lives of others. Fortunately, we do. If you watch the news, you would have seen the thousands in the March for Life yesterday, even though there was inclement weather, over the abortion laws, and there was a lot of work done as well in opposition to this law. So Christians continue. They continue their role of representing Christ in the world and trying to bring some sort of peace, sensibility, and grace in the midst of all this. When you have been feverish, times when you felt disconnected, flattened and confined to a horizontal existence, the fevers of our lives can come in many different ways. But regardless of how it comes about, the fever of disconnection kills, sometimes physically, sometimes emotionally, always spiritually. That's why it's so important to reflect honestly and deeply on our spiritual lives and recognise the symptoms. Last week I encouraged you to make this an intentional spiritual practice, because every time we make a confession, privately or corporately, and we name the things we've done and left undone, and the ways we've not loved God with our heart and our neighbour as ourselves, we're diagnosing the fever of disconnection and looking for the antidote. And of course, the antidote for this fever is to reconnect with the vertical axis of our lives, Christ. Christ is both our vertical connection and the means by which that connection is restored and sustained. He breaks the fever. He provides and is the cure. Isn't that what today's gospel is about? Isn't that what is being demonstrated with Simon's mother-in-law? Jesus took her by the hand and lifted her up. She stood upright. Jesus broke her fever and restored her vertical connection. With that restoration, all the other connections of her life were renewed. She was returned to her family and community, and she began to serve them, not as an act of submission, but as evidence of life and as an offering of hospitality and gratitude. That Jesus lifted her up is about more than just changing positions. It's more than just getting out of bed. This woman has been healed, made whole, and raised to new life. St. Mark uses the same Greek root word in other stories of healing and new life. There's a word, agairo, to raise up. That's translated in today's gospel as lifted her up. But in other places, at Jesus' command, a paralytic man stood up, took his mat and walked, from Mark 2. Jesus took the hand of a dead girl and told her to get up, the same root word, get up. And she did, and she got up and began to walk. Jesus took the hand of a boy most people said was dead and lifted him up, and he was able to stand. So where's all this leading? All this lifting up, raising up. When the women got to Jesus' tomb, the angel told them, he has been raised. The same word, been raised. In every one of these stories, the vertical connection was restored and life was returned. I hope you can see it well enough. This is an icon of the resurrection, and you'll see the same thing. I'll just jump out of the way a bit, point it out. So here Jesus is raising up Adam and Eve, okay, by the wrist and lifting them up from the grave and out of death and darkness. And I'm not sure whether you can see this character down here. This is representing Satan. He's all bound and tied up. So Adam and Eve, they're no longer confined to a purely horizontal existence. Jesus has restored their vertical connection, just as he did for Simon's mother-in-law and just as he does for us. He gives us a hand in our daily struggles to stand upright and maintain the vertical connection. Christ's hand touches our lives, breaks the fever, restores the connection, lifts us up and raises us to new life. I know this to be true. I continue to feel the hand of Jesus lifting me to new life and breaking the fever of sin, death, and the devil. Christ's hand of resurrection breaks the fever of death. Christ's hand of forgiveness breaks the fever of guilt. Christ's hand of mercy breaks the fever of condemnation. Christ's hand of peace breaks the fever of conflict and violence. Christ's hand of consolation breaks the fever of sorrow and grief. Christ's hand of hope breaks the fever of despair. There is no fever the hand of Christ can't or won't break. Christ breaks every fever. In him, every broken connection is restored. Every flat life is lifted up, and every horizontal existence is raised to new life. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told Jesus about her at once. He came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. Then the fever left her. The fever left her, and the fever will leave you. Amen.